You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
How about doing ENN then?
This is ENN, don't you know?
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Well, yeah, but what do I care about underwear trends?
That's right. Oh, no.
I don't know what happened.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hey, hi, hello. What's happening? Hey, how's everyone doing? Welcome to ENN on this, a Friday evening, Halloween Friday in the tri-state. I am Peter Rosenberg at Rosenberg Radio on your Twitter or Instagram vehicles. ENN tonight, sponsored by Coors Seltzer. Coors Seltzer is looking for volunteers to help save our rivers. Whatever you're doing, if you drink a Coors Seltzer, you're volunteering. Each 12-pack sold will help restore 500 gallons of river water. Drink a seltzer. Help save the Hudson River. Details at CoorsSeltzer.com. I'd like to start off, if I can, by saying good evening to Michael.
Let's get him on the show.
I'd love to, but I don't know if he's a real big sports fan. But
I don't care. Does it really matter?
No, it doesn't. You're on the show.
Oh, nice.
And if I can, I'd also like to say good evening to Don.
Bob Manfred.
That's it. I'd like to do it again. Good evening, Don.
Bob!
And lastly, but not leastly, good evening to Don.
Bob. Bob.
Look at that first
Bob.
Round draft.
Bob. Bob!
You've got a thing with the name Bob.
Yeah.
Get me help.
Yeah. It's really a thing.
He's my friend.
By the way, I don't know if I should reveal this.
Why?
Because I don't want to give away too much information.
Okay.
But I had a conversation with the kid Matt today. He was helping me out with the Tyson footage.
Mm-hmm.
I got to tell you, he had a tremendous idea. Do you guys remember the conversation we were having yesterday about like Tyson's fights at the end and how he seemed like he was so done and the place that he's in now?
Yeah.
Remember how we had that conversation?
Yeah, I remember.
Sure. The interesting part is, I have endless footage and interviews with all sorts of interesting people close to him and around him all at the end last time.
Is that right?
Yeah. During his last two fights, Danny Williams and Kevin McBride, I was there for the whole thing. I watched the end. And now the end turned out to not be the end.
It's the beginning or maybe the middle.
So it's sort of the story sort of writes itself, doesn't it, Donald?
Sure.
How did we get from the end to the beginning?
Do you have any like sound from Bradley Cooper? Because that's kind of like in the middle of the end.
You know what? Cooper's a good idea. It's a good get.
Yeah.
Could you have him on center stage before?
No, but I've got his number and speed dial. We're very close. Yeah.
All right, so maybe I'll reach out to him. We'll start out with college football, guys. Okay. Trevor Lawrence, heard of him?
Yeah.
Sure.
He is a linebacker. Southwest Louisiana Tech.
No, that's you're wrong.
You sure?
Positive.
With his coach, Dabo Sweeney?
Dabo.
Anyways, Trevor Lawrence tested positive for COVID-19, guys. So now the Heisman Trophy front runner will not be playing against Boston College this week. Coach
you
Dabo.
Remember when, he was like one of the main players, the lead player, the biggest star, saying that football had a return. And insisting that college football, the safest place for college football players would be within a team.
I remember
kinda
hearing
like,
that.
Yeah, and I think there might have been 37 players on Clemson so far that have gotten it. So,
although
might be safe for them because they have good doctors and stuff like that, that was all a bunch of malarkey, as we said at the time. Nonsense. This virus will find you wherever you are.
I love that you dropped a Joe Biden malarkey. Come on, man.
I had a moment today when the alert came over that Joe Budden
tested positive for COVID-19.
There was an alert for that?
Yes.
What alert? What news? Hold on, Don. What do you get? Hot new hip-hop alerts?
No, I get a news alert on my iPad. So when I casually look at it, I thought it said Biden. You know, because why would I think it would say Joe Budden?
DJ Lughead, do you believe that, God forbid, if
sending
one
our
of
best
the
out
three
to Joe
us,
Budden, by the way.
Yeah.
God, you say it again?
God forbid if one of the three of us got it.
Okay.
Would we be in an alert?
What? No.
No.
Maybe a radio station alert, like a text message.
Right. I mean,
I don't even think you wouldn't get on that one, Peter. Don and I might get on the radio.
But where
station.
Could Don have gotten that alert from?
I'll tell you. I got it. Let me see if it's still there.
Hip Hop OL, I think. It
says Newsbreak.
Offshoot of AOL.
I don't know where it comes from. Newsbreak.
Wow. That's fascinating. Well,
you're jealous that Budden got an alert, aren't you?
Me or Don?
You.
No, I just find it very amusing for Don that Don got. Like, if I got it, I wouldn't be surprised. I'm surprised Don got it. But I hope Joe's feeling better.
Absolutely.
Hopefully. He's a sometimes listener of the show. All right, guys, do you want to talk NFL for a second?
Please.
Sure. Shall we?
Mm-hmm.
RJ, give me some fun music. I'm bringing back my favorite segment, Don, where I break down for you who's calling what over the weekend, okay? Now, the 1 o'clockers on Sunday, they're busting out the big dogs at 1 for Pittsburgh and the Ravens.
So I'm assuming CBS does not have the doubleheader this week.
I guess not. Well, I'll tell you in a second. They have Jim Nantz on play-by-play. Tony Romo is your analyst, and the lovely Tracy Wolfson, your sideline reporter. CBS also has New England and Buffalo. Bills Pats getting the Iron Eagle Charles Davis Evan Washburn treatment.
Great hair.
I'm Evan Washburn. Also a CBS, my favorite, Spiro Dedis on play-by-play, along with one of the great Washington football players of all time, Adam Archuleta. They'll have Tennessee and Cincinnati.
Dedis is from Fordham, by the way.
That's right.
The Raiders and the Browns, a game this special, must get the great Kevin Kugler on Fox, along with Chris Spielman and Laura Oakman, your reporter.
That's one of those AFC matchups on Fox.
Yeah, a real doozy.
And a two-pointer for me and Peter.
Well, and yeah. Another big game here for the Caster, if you want to check in on Indianapolis and Detroit, it will be on CBS, and its announcers will be Andrew Catalan, James Jim Lofton, and my personal favorite, Michael Grady, your sideline reporter.
Michael Grady, do you know Michael?
I do not.
He is a future star, super talented, can do anything, and is a member of our Yes family.
I did not know that.
No, he does the Nets pre- and post-game.
That's awesome.
He's phenomenal how good he is.
Well,
he is on camera.
Well, I can't wait to see him. Congratulations to Michael Grady. Has he been doing the NFL for a while?
This is the first I've heard of it. This guy, I mean, he's a shooting star, so, I mean, he'll be doing something big somewhere. Obviously, doing the Nets on Yes is big, too, but he's great. Great.
Well, congrats to him, and also another shooting star who's now all the way at the top, Kevin Burkhart. He'll be on play-by-play for the Vikings and the Packers, or as I call it, the Vikers and the Packings. Burkhart, Moose Johnson, Pam Oliver on Fox.
They gave Kevin, that's a big game.
Kevin
he's
gets
number two.
I mean, listen, the man is big time. Also, 1 o'clock, here's the game everyone wants. The Jets and the Chiefs. Who do you think got the Jets and Chiefs treatment, guys?
I think they're going to do the silent game like they did with the Dolphins many years ago.
Oh, it's far from. What's the opposite of silent? Don?
Loud.
Yeah, the opposite of silent.
Kevin.
Oh, that's a Harlan vehicle.
That's right. Yeah. The man is drunk. Kevin Harlan screaming up a storm alongside Trent Green and Melanie Collins on the sideline. The last 1 o'clocker, the Rams and Dolphins. And we know who that is. Mr. Unlimited, a.k.a. Kenny Albert, along with Jonathan Vilma and Shannon Spake, your reporter.
Mr. Unlimited.
Don, you know this. They always put Kenny on the Dolphin games down in Miami because nobody enjoys South Beach like Kenny.
That's not true at all.
No?
Don, Michael, isn't Kenny, it true? Isn't his nickname Kenny South Beach Albert?
No. You put Kenny any place on earth. You could put him in St. Thomas, right? And his favorite place would be wherever he's calling the game.
It's true.
That's his favorite place. And I don't mean that to make fun. It's just, it's a fact.
4 o'clock games. There's one 4:05, the Chargers and the Broncos. Guys, think hard. What voice, if you were to turn on the Chargers and Broncos at 4:05 on Sunday, what voice are you going to hear?
On CBS?
Yeah, of course. You know it. You know this voice is going to be the Chargers and the Broncos. You just know it.
I haven't heard you say Greg Gumbel yet.
Well, that's because it's this game. Greg Gumbel, Rich Gannon, and the great Jay Feely. 4:25, you have the Saints and Bears, which for some reason is the destination of Joe Buck, Troy Aikman, and Aaron Andrews.
Because they've got the doubleheader.
But then, hold on. But then how do the 49ers Seahawks get Adam Amin, Mark Schlereth, and Lindsey Zarniak?
Adam Amin is one of their rising stars. He's really good.
But you Seahawks should be a Buck game.
Niners Seahawks should be the A team. I'm just wondering if there's some sort of a travel situation.
I really thought they'd give Buck this Sunday off. I mean, the guy's been working like a dog. It's unbelievable.
Any other league would. The NFL doesn't.
No. There's no such thing as off. No, Sunday nighter will be the Cowboys and Eagles.
That's tough.
Al, I've basically checked out. I'm here for the spread. Michaels. Chris Collinsworth. And Michelle Tafoya on the call. Monday night, of course.
I can't believe you make these comments about Al Michaels. If he was here, he'd punch you right in the face.
Monday night, the Tampa Bay Bucks and the New York Giants, Steve Levy, Brian Greasy, and Lewis looking over his shoulder to see where Kirk Herbstreit is Riddick on the call. Lisa Salters, your reporter. So that's your NFL weekend, guys. Now, let's hear from Daniel Jones, who was finally asked about being out to party with DJ Lughead last Friday.
You know, certainly respect the question and acknowledge the importance of it. But, Coach spoke about it the other day, and, you know, we have a way of handling those things. So, we're going to handle it internally here. And our focus is on the Bucks this week and being prepared to play Monday night.
So many people have taken that from Belichick, and anything they don't want to answer, my focus is on plugging the team that you're playing next.
But I still think it spoke volumes. He clearly got an earful, if not fined in some way, for what he did. Because if it was no big deal, it'd be like, no big deal. No, it was addressed. So, obviously, you know that Joe Judge was unhappy with that. The Giants were unhappy with it, because that's a franchise that does care, I would think, about the optic of that.
You would think.
So
I trust it. I think, listen, Jones handled the way a kid handles it. He's not in a spot to really talk about that. He's going to follow the team lead.
Well, he might have been told by Judge, don't talk about it.
That's what I'm saying. So right. He's just going to line up.
The fact that he acknowledged, I respect the question, meaning that, no, he understands it.
Adam Gase was asked about the possibility of the Jets juggernaut offense being down Perryman and Crowder this weekend against Kansas City.
Those are the things you can't really control. I know it's a great opportunity for Mims in his second game, getting Jeff Smith, Berrios, Vincent, maybe we'll be able to elevate one of these practice squad guys. It's probably harder for Sam than anybody because it's just a different group out there. But, I look at it as it's a great opportunity for a lot of dudes.
Yeah. If you remember, last week was going to be when they were the healthiest they were since week one. And that lasted like 3 seconds because Crowder didn't even play in the game. And then you move on to the next week and Perryman gets hurt. He's got a concussion. He's in concussion protocol. They just cannot be healthy.
And then you watch Thursday Night Football last night, Don, and you see how good Robbie Anderson has been. And, I mean, we're all putting a lot into Joe Douglas. That was a bad decision now. In retrospect, that was an awful decision. Perriman's done nothing. And Anderson has been, not even stretching. He's been great. That's right out there. There's a decision Joe Douglas made, and it has backfired tremendously. And Robbie Anderson was a target that really Sam Darnold liked a lot.
Hey, that was a long-term decision. I guess if I could answer for Joe Douglas, he'd probably say, through the first 8 weeks of the season, that looks bad, but over the length of the contract, we'll see. You know, clearly, his antics off the field probably had a lot to do with it, right? Because we knew he could play.
I don't know what his antics were. It seems like he's fine with Carolina under Matt Rhule.
But I'm just guessing that, you know, there was an incident here, and maybe they just wanted to get him out. Right? I mean, I guess.
But they made him an offer, though. They made him an offer of $20 million for 2 years, and I think he left for $22 million for 2 years. So if whatever problem it was okay for get $20 million, then you really wanted the guy, just up your offer $1 million a year.
I guess they put a price on him, and listen, I'm not defending it. I'm just saying that would probably be their answer. But you're right. Then that would be the reason you wouldn't make an offer at all. But when it came down to a money in which they had, right? It wasn't like they were up against the cap.
Nope. And they gave Perriman a certain amount of money, so it wasn't that much less than Robbie Anderson got. They made a choice of Perriman over Anderson.
Speaking of wide receivers, we played Thursday Night Football last night. You know who's good at football?
Who it is?
Julio Jones. I thought when the game started, I don't know if you guys watched the first couple of drives, I thought Julio might get 300 yards. It was, do you remember the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Don, where the episode where the only play that Will's team called was pass the ball to Will?
Right.
That, I believe that's what Dan Quinn said to Matt Ryan. Pass the ball to Julio. Just throw it up there, let Julio get it.
Do you think that there was ever any animosity between Will Smith and the Fresh Prince?
Well, they're the same person.
What? DJ Jazzy Jeff, right?
Go ahead, I'll answer this.
Will Smith made it, and Jazzy Jeff didn't. I mean, no, really made it. Well, and they were kind of tied together, so there has to be a lot of hatred.
I hate to do this. You know, this is not your world.
Right. I'm trying to learn.
So I'm going to explain. Okay, Will Smith became a global icon.
Exactly.
Yes. As an icon.
However, Jazzy Jeff is regarded as the greatest DJ who's ever lived. He gets paid boatloads of money to DJ all over the world. He's done amazing.
Can I tell you one thing, Peter? And Will Smith could buy and sell DJ Jazzy Jeff. DJ Lughead. The level of iconic stardom, it's not even in the same breath.
But that was always the way it was. He was the rap. Their first big album, their second album, was called He's the DJ, I'm the Rapper. The point, like, he always wanted to be the background. In fact, I interviewed Jazzy Jeff recently, and he said that they had to force him to come on the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and made a deal with him that it would be super easy and he'd barely have to do anything at all to be on it. He didn't even want to be a part of it. It wasn't who he was. And guess what? Don, you would guess those appearances for Jazzy Jeff on Fresh Prince over the years, those probably added up and did pretty well for him too.
Yeah, so he's fine. It's what he decided to do. But let's face it, Will Smith did not become a global icon because of his music.
He became
a global icon because of his acting.
Exactly.
But his music got him the entree into the acting.
It did.
But for Jeff, it was the entree into him just being a huge DJ. So they both won. I mean, Jeff is a millionaire being a DJ.
But Will's probably close to a billionaire now.
But you think that if you get in the game with someone, mm-hmm. And one of you has the goal of being a superstar, and the other one has a goal of just making music and having a good time. The person who just does the latter and does quite well is inherently bitter at the person who makes a ton of money. They're still close to this day.
Let me think. Yes.
Wow. Yeah. You know what? Sometimes the answer is bad guy, Don.
Would never be like if Peter and I just decided, you know, we're not going to do the Michael K show anymore. We've decided that we are going to go and become actors. And for some reason, we become like this buddy team, and we just become unbelievably popular. We're in like every movie together is incredible. Michael would not be, I'm so happy for those guys. Look at their acting. They're doing great. They were good talk show hosts, but good for them. He'd be bitter and mad, and that's sad.
All right, so Greek tells me Jazzy Jeff is worth $8.5 million allegedly, and I would guess, and this is a stretch, that Will Smith probably has that in the ashtray of his car.
But who cares?
Will Smith is worth $350 million. They both came up together. How could there not be a modicum of jealousy?
But why? What do you need more for? He's got $8 million.
Doing what he loves to do.
All he does is DJ.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Can we do our Take the Knee segment? Did you see what the Take the Knee is for CBS?
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for this week in What's on CBS.
It is from 8 to 11 p.m. Star Trek Beyond. Star Trek Beyond.
Which is a 1996 movie. So they're not even going with the original Star Trek movie from 79. They're throwing in some...
This is a fairly recent,
remotely interesting movie. Love it.
And also, a friend of mine said, Peter, did you just say that Dan Quinn was the coach of the Falcons? Because if you did, it's time for you to leave the show for the rest of the day.
Oh, no.
You've got to leave. I'm surprised I didn't hear it, because I'm so brilliant at this stuff. He said it, Don, and we both missed it.
Yep.
I just didn't hear it. I'm sorry.
You sure?
He was relieved of his duties.
He was fired weeks ago.
Yes. By the man who owns Home Depot.
But
D-gon.
Getting back to DJ Jazzy Jeff.
Raheem Morris.
I could understand there'd be bitterness if just out of nowhere, Will Smith decided to be a DJ himself and then become a global icon. But
right.
He went into something completely different.
So you and I are equals, right?
No.
I mean, you kind of like spoke about this. So let's say, Don, that you decide to do something different and you decide to start a company where you build widgets.
Right.
And, I mean, the company just explodes.
Right.
Where you're worth $500 million. I would never have started a company with widgets.
Right.
And I'm doing well. I would be insanely jealous that you have $500 million.
This is a window into your soul.
You're a sad person.
It's sad
and small. How about that?
And by the way, Don, you would say right now, things aren't equal between you and Michael. He's Michael K. And you know that. According to Michael's way of living, you shouldn't even be able to be friends with him.
Well, let me ask you that. So Keith
you should
Martin,
shudder.
Who's a real estate agent, listens to our show, and he just... So do you think that Peter Scolari, who's had a really nice acting career, is he jealous of Tom Hanks? They both came up in Bosom Buddies. That was a
big
break.
They were both trying to make it as actors, and they had the exact same role on the exact same show.
Right, so he's very jealous, you would think.
Well, perhaps. It's possible.
Perhaps. There would be, I guess, some reasoning behind it.
But Jazzy Jeff and Fresh Prince were best friends in high school. They started a rap group in which one was always in the forefront as the rapper. One was always in the background as the DJ.
But his name still came first.
Right. Out of pure respect for the DJ. Do you guys
I don't know if you realize this. We worked here. I'm a very flawed human being, but I'm honest. So if Don made $500 million... It would make me jealous. I'd be happy for him, but I'd be insanely jealous.
Of
weird.
What? What can you do with that $500 million? What's the difference?
What can't you do with it?
$8 million, $500 million to no difference. I don't even like. Who cares? They're rich.
So you don't think there's any difference in the way you live between $8 million and $500 million?
But
if
I don't understand why
you'd
be jealous. You weren't a closet widget producer like that. You were hoping that one day you'd be able to make the widgets and make $500 million. Wasn't even on the table. So why wouldn't you just be happy for me? Why would you be jealous? You only should be jealous of someone when you think that should be me. That could have been me. That wouldn't be the case.
And my point is this. I've never been near $8 million or $500 million. Either way, you want for nothing. You have a big house. You have a beautiful lifestyle. You're completely comfortable. What the hell's the difference? They're good.
He's not iconic.
He is. I'm telling you, we talked about this. I had a conversation with Jazzy Jeff recently in which we talked about how funny it was when people come up to him at like events. If he does like a big corporate event for a ton of money, people will come up to him and go, and Don, they'll say, I didn't know you actually DJed. Meanwhile, if you're in hip hop, he's literally, when he walks in a room, I bow. He's the greatest who's ever lived.
Can I ask you one question?
He thinks it's funny. He doesn't care.
these people that come up to a guy whose name is DJ Jazzy Jeff, I didn't know you were a DJ. Are they
morons? Because they knew him from the show. So they thought, or they just thought correct, that it was some kind of gimmick or a gag or whatever.
Like the kids program, Bob the Builder. I didn't know you were a builder. Well, that's in my name. I'm Bob the Builder.
You know what? We spent a lot of time on Jazzy Jeff. I don't want you to worry about him. He's doing great. He's a big, big star. I was just thinking about him earlier, which is interesting, before this even came up.
I know what you think.
Let's move on to Cam Newton, who says that this game against the Bills, by the way, a game that I thought long and hard about picking the Bills in.
I mean,
if it was the only reason we did not pick the Bills here at -3.5 is because obviously you think, can Belichick get embarrassed again? But I feel like this is an easy win for the Bills and they cruise.
Well,
and I was scared though. So let's hear from
Cam. I'll tell you why it scared me off of it is because if you know the Bills lost two in a row, they really weren't that engaged last week. So I'd be a little worried that that team might be in a bit of a slump.
See, I think this is their bounce back. I think it's their bounce back game.
Okay.
Let's hear from Cam about what he's learned in his recent struggles in New England.
Losing is not acceptable in this locker room, in this county, in this state, in this area, in this region. So Cameron Newton, you need to pick your expletive up.
So not only does he refer to himself in the first person, but he does it in the official, not Cam, it's Cameron.
Yeah, I've never heard him go full Cameron before.
I'd be loath to pick against the Patriots. I looked at that game, and if somebody said you had to pick it, I would pick the Patriots.
Well,
do you know that Bart Scott on Get Up today actually said that Bill Belichick should be fired?
As GM. Yeah, I saw that. How about this, though? Would this affect your pick, guys? Julian Edelman out for the Patriots on Sunday after a knee procedure.
Yeah, it would.
I'll tell you, I thought about it.
So, Dak Prescott is out.
Dak.
Andy Dalton is in concussion protocol. That means the quarterback for the Cowboys this weekend against the Eagles. Oh, it would be Ben DiNucci.
Who's this?
That's a great question.
Do you know that this time last year he was playing Elon College? Elon, which is a very, very nice school, but not a football powerhouse.
Huh?
I think their nicknames are the Musks.
Oh, no. That was from the Michael K. School of Garbage. Look
I'm
at
really
this garbage.
Surprised that I got it out before he did.
Wow. He had a Musk joke coming. There's no doubt.
Listen, if I had it coming, it would have been coming.
Excuse me?
Is that right?
That's right.
An offensive lineman in Denver has tested positive for COVID-19. So there's some contact tracing going on for the entire O-line as they try to figure out what's going on before they play the Chargers.
Now, if practice is so important for football teams, right, what they do during the week, well, I can't play this guy unless he practices, right? How are the Giants actually practicing? They don't have offensive linemen. Yesterday, at least, they didn't. How do they practice? They play two-hand touch?
Yeah, it's a really tough spot for them. That's why I picked the Bucs to cover. It's a disaster to begin with, and now with not practicing. But what I wonder with all these things happening, and it's happening all over the league, especially with these teams, like the groups, like why do they have to be in a room together? Like, why can't they, you know, the go practice or whatever you got to do, but then when there's meeting time, indoor, right, why don't they go to separate rooms and just and Zoom or FaceTime the meeting? Why do they all have to be in the same room where they can all be contagious?
Don't they have to be tested when they come into the facility? So, I mean, if they test it negative, what would be the harm? I don't understand how that spreads. But I guess you could test negative and still be positive. It hasn't shown up on a test yet. What a mess.
Yeah, how long does it take? Like, if you have it and you expose me, am I instantaneously positive?
No.
Well, there you go. How long does it take for that positive to show?
3.5 hours. I made that up, everybody.
You made that up. Yankees exercise their option for Zach Britton.
Smart move. Zach Britton. I told you what I would do. Nobody has picked up on this. I don't know if Chapman is the same closer, because Chapman used to be great because he threw 105 when no one else threw 100. Now he throws 100 when everybody throws 100. I think he started as a starter. Make him a starter at $17 million. That's a cheap starter, inexpensive. Let Zach Britton close and build up the rest of your bullpen. But that hasn't gained traction. But I think it's brilliant.
Well, it may happen, and then you'll look great because it's on record. It is. The show of record. We have it.
We are the show of record.
That's right. Also, by the way, in addition to the Zach Britton news, they also declined the options for Brett Gardner and Jay Happ.
I think both were expected. I don't think Happ is coming back. There's a lot of bad feelings there. Happ felt that they held down his starts so that the option didn't kick in automatically. That's one man's opinion. I think Brett Gardner would desperately want to come back. I think the Yankees would want him back as a fourth outfielder, but not at $10 million. So they paid the $2.5 million option. So maybe they give him another $2.5 million, give him $5 million for the year, and he spells Hicks and Frazier in the outfield. That's the way I look at it.
I was surprised to see. I heard a rumor earlier that Brian Cashman, actually in response to Happ being sort of unhappy this year, added him on Twitter and wrote, "We're done with you because you happen to suck." And I was like, wow, that is not the Yankee way.
Where'd you hear that? That's not true.
No, you read it.
No, no, it's actually not true. He didn't say that. Also, a little bit awkward. The White Sox email announcement of the Tony La Russa hiring had A.J. Hinch's signature on a picture of Tony La Russa.
Ooh. Well, maybe he was signing off on the hire.
The mistake was due to multiple variations of the graphic being prepared for various candidates, so it was eventually corrected.
They are really red hot in Chicago, Peter. They're not happy.
Well, they should be.
Why are they so unhappy?
Because they thought that this is a team that's supposed to, you know, they've gotten their act together, they built the team the right way, they're ready to win, that they bring in a young, innovative manager, and they never thought it would be La Russa, and it was Reinsdorf. Because when the GM came out and talked about what kind of manager they wanted, he described somebody that wasn't Tony La Russa. I think they're being a little harsh. Unless Tony La Russa is completely lost in, I don't think. I've spoken to him, you know, in the last year. He's a sharp guy. He knows baseball better than anybody. Why won't he be good? As Reinsdorf said, we just hired a Hall of Fame manager.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was less than a decade ago he won a World Series.
And he's better than Rick Renteria, and they made the playoffs with Rick Renteria. You don't think you're going to make the playoffs with Tony La Russa? I'll repeat my prediction from yesterday. They will win the American League Central.
Mike D'Antoni is joining Steve Nash's staff in Brooklyn. Of course, Nash won two MVPs while playing point for D'Antoni in the mid-2000s. Now a reversal of fortune. Nash is the boss, D'Antoni as the staffer. It's according to Woj, by the way. And guys, I'm going to work backwards on this day in sports history. Let's start in 2002.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. That's the great thing about sports. You play to win. And I don't care if you don't have any wins. You go play to win. When you start telling me it doesn't matter, then retire. Get out. Because it matters.
Don, for $3, who asked the question that started that rant?
Rich Cimini.
No, no. Judy Batista.
Ah, another great.
Wife of Dave Batista.
I never dated a Judy.
Wow.
That was nice.
On this day in 2001.
Well, tonight,
I know.
Ceremonial first pitch. And please welcome the President of the United States.
I've never been more overwhelmed being at a sporting event than I was that night. It was unbelievable. Unbelievable. The amount of pressure. I described that night as almost out of body experience. Like the place was jammed. It took people hours to get in. The security was overwhelming. There were snipers on the buildings above Yankee Stadium. President Bush was dressed in Kevlar from neck to ankle, and he comes out on the mound and throws a strike from the rubber. It was just, and then the place exploded. Like there was almost like an exhale. People just didn't know what was happening in the world and what was the next thing that was going to fall. There was so much nervousness, but it was a magnificent but surreal moment in a ballpark.
Did you say magnificent? Did you say surreal?
Well, I was actually describing it. I was on the radio at the time with John, and I was describing the first. I don't remember what I said, but.
Well, speaking of magnificent and surreal, let's go back then one last time, this time to 1974.
Another sneaky right hand.
The Rumble in the Jungle, Ali over Foreman. Beautiful. That'll do it for ENN on this, a Friday evening in the Tri-State.
Ali Boumai.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.